So I thank the organizer for inviting me and for giving me the chance to talk here. And I was in Missouri, University of Missouri, but now I moved to the Field Institute. So my talk will be the comparison result of volume of quantum state. So we all know that quantum states are used to describe quantum systems, and these are more and more popular after the discovery of quantum algorithms. So these quantum algorithms are based on entangled quantum states. So it's very important to know whether a quantum state is entangled or not, but unfortunately, it's a hard problem. So today we are going to study the relative size of the set of separable and entangled quantum states within the set of all quantum states. So answers of this question will give us idea whether our world is more entangled or more quantum. So you will see later on. So we are going to work on the Hilbert space, which has the tensor product CD1 up to CDN. So each CDI corresponds to a subsystem of H. Therefore, the complex dimension of H is the product of DI. Okay. And we know that the set of quantum states may be identified with the random matrices. So random matrices is n by n positive definite. So this can be semi-definite. Matrix with trace 1. Trace means just the sum of diagonal. So this will give us the dimension of V equals n square manifold. Now, the separable quantum state is just a part of the quantum state. So it's just the complex combination of this tensor product, rho 1 up to rho n. So each rho I is the quantum state on the subsystem. So therefore, the set S is the convex hull of this kind of tensor product. So when a quantum state is not separable, we call it entangled. That means the set E, the set of entangled quantum state, is the complement of S within E. Okay. So your quantum state is either separable or entangled. It's just it can be the same. It can be both of them. And we are going to study the probability of S and E in E. So if we know the probability of S, then we will know the probability of E, just one minus that. And before we do this, I just want to mention the useful Pierce-Ferdinand PBG criterion to detect separability, to detect entangled quantum state. So in this way, normally we work on the bipartite system. You have only two subsystems. And the partial transpose defined on the tensor product, just like this. You fix the second one, and you transpose the first one, and then you compute the tensor product. Okay. And for the general, we just do the linear combination somehow. Now, the set PVT is all the is the collection of all quantum states with positive partial transpose. And a very easy proof shows that this set S is part of PPT. And this proof may be three lines, but this paper gets quite a lot of excitation. So that means a separable quantum state must have a PPT, must satisfy PPT criterion. Therefore, if you know a quantum state is not PPT, you are lucky. You just say, okay, it's entangled. We are done. So we can use it in the quantum algorithm. But if we only know that this state is PPT, I just have no information. It's entangled or separable. I don't know. But in some case, it tells that the set S is precise PPT, then. But this has dimension like H equals 4 or 6, just the basic two systems. And for the rest, I guess it's not true, because a counterexample has been found for for dimension 8, that means you have entangled quantum state with PPT. So I want to ask, how precise is this this tool to detect separability? To answer these questions, normally we need to define the meshes. So as far as I know, meshes on D normally has some feature like this. Has the product of two parts. The first part, the new, is some mesh on the simplex of eigenvalues. Okay. Since this eigenvalue, so this is a density matrix, it has sum 1. So we have this is a sum 1. Okay, we do not take the whole simplex because we want to avoid duplication when you are computing the volume. So we just take any chamber, so we just pick, for instance, this kind of order. Okay, just take any part. No, totally you have n factorial such chambers. And the d gamma is another measure on the Bragg manifold. This is corresponding to eigenvectors. Okay, so this has this precise formula here. Du is the variation, so that u plus du is again a unitary matrix. So this this measure actually is induced by the Hall mesh of the unitary group. So this is the nth unitary group, n by n unitary group. And again, we do not take the whole unitary group because we want to avoid duplication. So we have to divide it by something, right? But this measure has this result. The total measure of gamma on Fn is known, but I don't want to mention here today. So I'm going to list some important measures in literature. So the first one is the Lebesgue measure on D. So this is the Hilbert-Schmidt measure. Take this form. Here, delta 0 is the direct measure at 0. That means we focus on the simplex. Okay. And here, the square corresponding to the complex Hilbert space. If you have this is 1, then we get that the real Hilbert space. Just this the only difference between the real and the complex one. Bure measure is much more complicated than the Hilbert-Schmidt one. So this part is the same, but you have these singularities. And these singularities cause a lot of trouble to compute the volume of D. And when you have the induced measure, and you get another factor besides this one, it's the same as the Hilbert-Schmidt one up to a constant D. So that means when K is N, we get this is more or less the Hilbert-Schmidt measure. Okay, so in this sense, the Hilbert-Schmidt measure can be viewed as an induced measure by a partial trace. Okay, and we notice that this k and n are dimensions, so these two are integers. So the whole thing k minus n is integer, but I want to do it for all real number. Okay, this alpha can be all positive real number, and the rest. When alpha equals 1, then you get the Hilbert-Schmidt measure. So why these measures are important? The first two measures are induced by meshes. Okay. So Hilbert-Schmidt measure is induced by the Euclidean distance on D. So this is quite nice because we have a Euclidean geometry on D, then a lot of skills in convex geometry and asymptotic geometry analysis can be used here. But the Bure one is very complicated. Let's say the definition is the supremum of this part. Okay? Here, the supremum runs over all the positive operator value measurement. That means this EI is the partition of identity where each EI is a positive operator. So that means trace EI rho is a probability distribution. And this formula up to the square root means the statistical distance between two probability measure. And then this Bure measure, Bure distance gives you a way to measure the statistical distinguishability. That's why it's important. And the measure induced by partial trace is another way to construct measures. Here, the partial trace roughly is defined like this. You have a density matrix on this tensor product space, then this matrix can be written as block matrix. So each Aij is a k by k matrix. Now we compute the partial trace over the second subsystem, then we just do like this. The ij's element of this matrix will be just the trace of Aij. Okay. And in this way, it allows us to view any quantum state on Hn as a pure state on much higher dimensional. So this has dimension n times k, much higher than Hn. Then the measure induced by partial trace can be considered as a projection of nk minus 1 simplex into n minus 1 simplex. Now I'm going to talk about the comparison results. Because we want to compute, estimate the probability of separability and entanglement. And we only have good tools to study this kind of measure, because this is Euclidean. This is Lovigo measure. Okay. So I'm going to compare the alpha volume with the Hilbert-Schmidt volume. Okay. I'm going to let K be any subset on D, and I define the alpha volume ready ratio of K to D, just the probability of K to the dish root. Okay? And likewise, I define the Hilbert-Schmidt ready ratio of K to D. Now I'm going to compare this one and this one, like this. Okay. So if alpha is positive number, and we let alpha max as the maximum of 1.5 alpha, alpha minimal is the minimum of 1.5 alpha, then the alpha volume ready ratio of K to D is bounded from above by the Hilbert-Schmidt volume ready ratio of K to D to the power alpha mean up to some factor. And this factor can be ignored in applications because it will be bounded by some constant. And it will be bounded from below by the Hilbert-Schmidt volume ready ratio of K to D to the power alpha max, again, up to some constant. Okay. So this constant will also be bounded from below by some constant.
Question? Here?
K just any subset.
Any subset.
Okay. Any measurable subset.
Okay.
Yeah.
So what is the difference between C1 and C2?
It's just two integers, two numbers, two universal numbers. Mm. And actually, we gave the estimation of these two numbers in my paper. This is the one, sorry.
Ah, okay. This is the one. Okay.
So I have another question. So here you're looking at subsets of D, right? Mm-hmm. Is that important, or does it work in general?
It's important because I want to estimate it. When K is separable, then I can have a way to estimate the probability of the separability.
Okay, but in this result, it's, I mean, the fact that D is just, you know, that...
Here, D is just the set of the quantum states. Yeah. Okay. Just the whole set. So, likewise, we can compare the alpha volume with the Bure volume, okay? And the Bure volume ratio, ready ratio of K to D is again bounded by the alpha volume ready ratio of K to D up to this this power, okay? Minimal 1/2 and 1/2 alpha. Okay, it's bounded by this from below. Again, this constant will be controlled if we for instance, in the separable case or in the PQT case. V alpha is the dish root of the probability of K. V alpha is alpha volume here.
Okay.
Now we are going to use this compression result to the separable set S. So when we fix D and we let little n goes to infinity, then this is bounded from above by this, from below by this. It's a quite complicated formula. But the next thing is the upper bound goes to zero exponentially. So that means that the probability of S goes to zero super exponentially. And the same thing happens to here. Okay, so this goes to zero exponentially. So in other words, the probability of S is very close to zero. And the probability of E is very close to 1, then randomly choose a quantum state, just use it like entangled quantum state, I guess it's okay. But you have to check, make sure it's the right one. So for the Hilbert-Schmidt one, it was proved by O'Brien and Sharak. Now when we fix N, let D goes to infinity, then we have this Buer volume regulation of S to D is bounded by this from above, by this from below. And likewise, the alpha is bounded by this and by this. So the same thing, this goes to zero very, very, very quickly. Okay. Again, so the probability of finding separability is very small. However, when we work on the PPT set, we get this whole thing is essentially a constant. It can be bounded from below by a constant. So therefore we get, okay, so the pure volume regulation of S to the PPT is the same thing. You just change D to PPT, and you get this quantity goes to zero. And for large dimension, then this criterion is not satisfied. Okay? And I'm going to give you some numerical result, shows the effectiveness of the bound. So when we have, the qubit, you only need 8 level, then the probability of finding several quantum states is very, very small. And for the qubit, just 5 level, and you can just, okay, almost everything is entangled. And, and for the PBT one, and you will say that it's more or less the same, but you have to increase the level, number of level. But it's quite nice then. Everything is almost entangled. What? this one is easy if you have this.
But it's a numerical result.
No, exactly.
I just put a numerical, put some number like this.
Oh, that's what you mean. You plug it in here.
Yeah, plug it into and put everything into the mathematics and automatically give us the. The result.
No simulation
would use. No. Of course, this part is not optimal, but this gives us some idea how it works. Right? Everything is almost everything is entangled. Other questions? No.
Thank you. So we have a another question. Yes, Levi?
So just a philosophical question. What do you think about the claims that we can start our quantum computer with the all zero states?
I don't quite understand your question.
Very often we talk about a quantum algorithm in terms of preparing some zero states in a product form, and then we start, I mean, that's usually considered the easiest step, and then you start to apply gates to it, to perform a computation. These states, of course, we know how to prepare them and so on and so forth, but apparently we believe that we can build them, but they seem to be so rare.
I guess sometimes when you have a state, you want to make sure it's separable, right? But this result, you do not need to worry about too much because you have probability of one to find this separable. I just don't know how to answer your question.
Okay, any other questions? Then let's thank the team again.